the compromise. Travis sat in the scrape they had excavated. The desert was getting cold as the sun started its orange descent into the hard sand on the horizon. His limbs were stiff, and he was glad that it would soon be dark, and he and his Oppo could get going and carry out the mission they'd come for. The waiting around was always the worst bit. He cradled his DeMarco C8 rifle. It wasn't easy for a private security consultant like himself to get hold of this kind of hardware, and he was rather attached to it. Silly sentimental old fucker, he thought, as he chuckled softly to himself. But it's no different to a carpenter who has a favourite chisel, is it? Travis cleared his thoughts and focused. What was that? He lifted his rifle, extending the barrel out over the top of the scrape and looking through his optic. His vision swam a little for a moment until things steadied and he saw a young goat herd in local dress heading towards his position. He turned towards his partner, Billy, to see if he was awake. He wasn't. Billy's eyes were closed and he looked very comfortable and peaceful in the Egyptian PT position. He was hunkered down with his face covering wrapped around his head to insulate him from the cold breeze. Travis kicked his buddy's foot and put his finger up to his lips to signal to Billy to be quiet. Billy's blue eyes shot open and the mist of sleep cleared as he lifted his head to search Travis's face for an explanation. Travis leant in close and whispered, "Goatherd, about 50 metres, keep it down." As Travis slowly tracked the boy through his scope, hoping that the youngster would carry on walking along the path that ran parallel to them, he reflected on how strange it was that they'd come to be here. Last year, Billy and he had been in Venezuela with Mason and Phoenix. South America had been a different sort of heat, a wet, humid heat. Oh, and the insects, they were something else, huge. He had spent most of the winter in Libya, and it had been wet and cold. They even had some snow, not what he'd expected at all. Now he and Billy were readying themselves to enter the Tizit town under the cover of darkness and carry out a recce of their army defences. The boy was moving away now and his goats were dutifully following him. "Keep walking, son, keep walking." It reminded Travis of a story he'd been read as a child when the Pied Piper had led the rats out of his town. The image was strangely comical, even though the young lad didn't even have a pipe. It's funny what you think about in the boredom moments. "Hurry up and wait" was always the joke when he'd been in the regular army. Now he was working for the American, Mason. At least Phoenix paid more than the Queen. Travis was relieved that the boy had gone. He didn't want to think too much about what he would have done had the lad discovered their position. Killing children wasn't in the job description. What happened next happened fast. Later, he would describe it as almost simultaneous. He heard a footstep, softly shuffling like in the dust, crunching, grinding. He heard a very familiar noise, the cocking back of an AK-47, and then that shot. His ears were ringing like a peal of church bells, the concussive effect of a 7.62mm round in a confined space. A red rose slowly expanded on the front of Billy's softshell. He was still lying on his back, his blue eyes staring up at the sky as if he were watching the clouds scudding across. But his eyes were sightless. Travis had seen enough dead bodies to recognise that vacant look. Billy had left the house. The Tizit soldier was holding his rifle up, still pointing the barrel at the reclining Billy. The butt rested firmly in his uniform shoulder. Travis, ever the professional, noted his good posture and casually told himself how the NATO guys had done a good job training them. Travis understood what had happened in an instant. Billy had seen the gunman approaching from behind Travis. He had raised his pistol to defend them, but he was too slow. Perhaps still half asleep. It was the last thing that Billy did or thought. Although in reality, these events occurred almost instantaneously. In his recollection, they were smeared across time like they'd been stretched out to reveal all the small details, sort of slow motion. His level of awareness was heightened to an incredible level. He missed and forgot nothing. Everything was etched into his memory as if by laser. Reflexively, through years of practice and muscle memory, Travis started to traverse his C8 around towards the Tizzit who had killed his mucker. He instinctively knew he was too slow. The man's AK was already trained on his centre mass instead of Billy. Embedded self-preservation made him lower his rifle. He knew he couldn't beat the local to the draw. Timing is everything. Reluctantly, he lowered his rifle to the ground, resigned. Survival was paramount. This had been drilled into him since he was PBI, poor bloody infantry. The Tizzit quickly jerked up his AK barrel twice, signifying that he should put his hands up in the air. The last thing Travis remembered was another soldier entering his peripheral vision from the left. Then everything went dark. Travis opened his eyes slowly. His mouth was dry. Dry? No, his mouth was dried. He felt as if somebody had stuffed a bag of potpourri in there, those little bags that his mother used to have in her clothes drawers at home when he was a child. His head throbbed like the mother of all hangovers. He reached up to the source of the pain and discovered an egg-sized lump on the back of his head. Touching it sent a lightning bolt of pain through him. He cancelled any attempt to move when his body protested with more convulsive lightning forks and a rising desire to vomit. Looking round by moving his eyes from side to side in their sockets, which was the only part of his body that didn't hurt, he saw he was in a largish room. The whitewashed brickwork and absence of windows put him in mind of a cellar, but the bars on the only door confirmed it was some sort of cell. He could hear muffled conversations and groans. He heard a voice in his head say, "We are all in our own private hell." Where did that come from? A book? A movie? It must be the movie. He didn't read many books. Just then, the door opened. His vision was a bit limited, as his head needed to be kept very still, but he saw three pairs of feet in overalls and working boots enter the room. Strong hands hauled him to his feet, sending his brain another pain telegram. "Not known at this address," swirled around in his brain, with a line from the song, "Return to Sender." He was still a lot concussed. He felt his hands being secured by something. His vision was swirling around like ink dropped in a bowl of water, and focusing his eyes was painful, so he abandoned that idea. Suddenly, he was hoisted up by his hands, which ended up above his head. He was hoisted high, and only his toes touched the hard floor. He hung there, swaying slightly.
"Hello, Travis."
The woman was behind him. It was face to the wall. The rough brick was brushing his nose and chin as he swung, suspended.
"Are you comfortable, my dear?"
He wasn't, actually. The hand restraints were cutting into his wrists. They felt like tie wraps. His concussed brain conjured up an image of pink, fluffy hand restraints, like those you would find on a sex toy website. He would have sniggered at this had the pain not been so intense. He found he could relieve the pain in his wrists by using his toes to take his weight. He bobbed up and down on his toes like a crap ballet dancer.
"Why are you in Tizzit?"
A few seconds went by. He didn't reply. Suddenly, he felt somebody hanging on him, making him twice as heavy. His feet were kicked away, losing contact with the concrete. Pain lanced from his wrists. He felt the skin open up as the plastic cut through his flesh. He winced. Again, she said.
"Why did the two of you come here, Travis? What was your mission?"
"Billy," Travis said softly between clenched teeth. She said,
"He's fine. He's unconscious, but he's recovering from his flesh wound. You can both go home once you tell us what we need to know."
He knew she was lying. Billy was dead. He remembered Billy's eyes, that dead fish look.
"Why, Travis? Just tell me your mission.
Holiday, Travis mouthed. Greece has got awfully expensive now, what with the euro. Something that went swish suddenly hit him across the broad of his back. It felt like a red-hot poker, and his body spasmed in response. He felt something wet on the lower half of his body. He prayed he'd just wet himself.
Oh, my dear, you've had an accident. How pathetic you are. Not much of a soldier, are you? I bet you are hung like a mouse. This is all so unnecessary. This isn't how we treat guests, is it? But then, guests don't try to exterminate us. What were your orders?
Tourist, Travis hissed. He was trying not to pass out. His world was starting to spin. He remembered laying on the roundabout at the park when he was a kid and going round and round until he was dizzy. How they laughed when they tried to walk afterwards and tottered like 10-year-old drunks.
Does Heather know where you are?
The woman had changed tack. How? Heather was his wife. How did she know that?
How will Heather be able to pay for everything for those two little boys of yours if you don't get home?
Travis had a moment of clarity, and everything made sense for a split second. He had carried his Phoenix ID card on the mission with him. It contained his full name. What an idiot he was. She was right, he is a crap soldier. A quick trawl through Facebook would tell this woman all she needed to know about Travis Rogers. This was turning into a right cake and arse party.
Well, you've had your chance, Travis. Don't you say you weren't warned. I was trying to be your friend. We could have got you home, unharmed. Now my friend has a larger, how do you British call it? Please? He's going to take your thumbs, Travis. Your fingers. Now what do you think about that?
Travis felt something cold and metallic grip the base of his left thumb above his head. His vision was still foggy, but he made out the outline of the black instrument. He heard the snapping of bone. He screamed. Billy was shaking him, his blue eyes staring questioningly at Travis. Stop screaming, Trav. Wake up. There's a kid and a load of goats coming our way. Do you want him to find us here? We've got a job to do. Travis blinked a few times, yawned, and started to stretch as he came out of his deep sleep. They were still in the scrape. Oh, bad dreams again. Often comes with a job. Just then, he heard some boots in the dust and the unmistakable sound of an AK being cocked back and a round entering its chamber for the first time.